You're listening to the Island Church Podcast. If you'd like more information or to donate to this ministry, visit islandchurch.tv.
Good morning, everyone. This morning, we're picking up with celebrating a winning attitude. How many know someone that has a winning attitude? How many know someone that has a loose, don't respond to that. I think we understand, don't we? The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 through 33, it's a familiar passage of scripture. Been alluded to multitudes of times in sermons and messages. And it's about some spies that went out on Moses' command. Moses has led the children of Israel out of bondage. The plagues had taken place. They've crossed the Red Sea. All kinds of miracles have happened. They've been wandering around out here in this wilderness now going on 40 years. And it's time to step across into this promised land, this land that God had promised the Israelites. It's a land that belongs to them. And in Numbers chapter 13 in verses 30 through 33, here's what it says. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it." That is, occupy this land. "For we are able to overcome." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out. "The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw there are of great height. And there we saw Nephilim, the sons of Anak who come from Nephilim. And we seemed ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them." It's an amazing passage of scripture. We're looking at it in light of a positive attitude and a negative attitude. Really, we're talking about people of faith and people who have great doubt or no faith. People who believe that what God promised he'll provide, and people who question what God promised. And what we find out is that there were two spies that had a good report. Anybody know their names? Joshua and Caleb. And there were 10 spies that had a negative report. Now, what's their names? Nobody knows, because we don't remember that. But we remember these two guys that stood up for faith, right? But here's what happened. People gravitate to negative. People gravitate to that which is at a lower level or a lower base. And tragically, what happened was this negative attitude kept an entire nation from fulfilling their destiny, an entire generation of that nation, because their thinking was not aligned with the promises of God. Their view got distorted. And they couldn't grab a hold of the promise. And tragically, here's what happens in our world. There are so many people that live according to the soulish realm, mind, will, and emotions, and they never rise up in the spirit to lay hold of the promises of God, but they rest rather in the natural, make excuse for God instead of saying, "I believe God can do this. I'm standing on what God can do. I have faith in what God can do. I'm trusting what God can do." They make excuse for God and they never fulfill their destiny. They never fulfill what God called them to be, and they never do the exploits that God had for them that come right out of his word. There was this perception. We talked about this a little bit, and we're gonna get through this first part pretty quick, but there was this perception, a wrong perception, a faulty perception, a false perception is a fatal flaw. And in these spies that brought a negative report, they had a flawed perception. Now we hear this expression a lot, that perception is reality. Perception is reality to them. They forgot the promise of God. They didn't believe the promise of God. Their perception was, we're nothing but grasshoppers. They think we're nothing but grasshoppers. We're never going to accomplish this task. And so they had a totally wrong perception of what was taking place. This is a land that flows with milk and honey. This is a land of blessing. This was a land of promise. This was why they came out of Egypt. They had prayed for 300 years. They had cried out to God. This was the fulfillment of it. But their perception was, we can't do this. Faith speaks not of what I can do. Faith speaks of what God can do. And with God, all things, say it with me, are possible. But they looked at it, this is who we are. We are nothing but grasshoppers. When in reality, the creator of the universe, the great I am that I am, that spoke to Moses out in the desert, that led Moses as Moses led the children of Israel, is the one who had delivered them, but they had a different perception. They didn't see that God. They saw how limited they were. I want you to see this. I want you to see the poison of pessimism. Look at Numbers chapter 14. Verses 2 and 3, it says, and all, everybody say all the people of Israel grumbled. They all grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, why would you do this to us? Why would you bring us out here? Would that we had died in the land of Egypt. We would have rather died as slaves in the burning heat making bricks. Why would you bring us out here to die? Or would that we had died in the wilderness. We would rather died back just wandering around in these last 40 years. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? Now you talk about a dire situation. Here Moses is with Aaron. They're trying their best, follow God, hear God. And now everybody say all, and the whole congregation starts grumbling. This thought comes to mind. You would have thought that someone would have said, hey, Pastor Mo. Hey, Moses. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening to God and coming back. I know it was hard. I know it was hard to come back and then to stand before Pharaoh. And I know that it was a challenging time. I'm sure it was difficult whenever each one of the plagues would happen and Pharaoh's heart would be hard. And I'm sure that was a difficult time. And then when God opened up the way for us to leave and we get to the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army is closing in behind us and there is the Red Sea in front of us and you stood up there by faith and you struck the water and it opened up. Man, I just want to say thank you for your leadership. Thank you for following God. And when we got across and the water was bad and how you listened to God and God provided for us and how there was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day and how the manna rained down, we just want to say we will follow you to hell if we have to. We love you. Did that happen? They all complained. The whole congregation complained. Are you following me along this line of thinking? Let me just say this. If you happen to be, and we have a lot of pastors that visit our church on vacation. If you happen to be a pastor, if you happen to be the leader of an organization or you're the owner of your business, let me just say, as long as things are rough, nobody cares. But get some success and everybody's got an opinion. And that's exactly what happened here. When it was rough and we needed God, thank God Moses is out there. But now, listen, we don't want to go to that promised land. All these things have happened. It's all been good, but no more. We're putting up a wall here. And they all complained. And they all grumbled. The whole congregation. Which tells me this. That couple million, 2.5 million, however many there were there, 10 people was able to influence a whole bunch of folks. Fascinating, isn't it? It is fascinating. There is the poison of pessimism, and that poison travels quickly. And if you are a negative, can't-do, complainer, griper, grumbler, number one is this. Your chances of living in the promises of God and living in the victory of God, I'll give you two words, slim and none. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. God lives in the praises of his people, not in the complaining of his people. Amen? And so this whole idea of our influence. Oh, I don't have any influence. Negative people have influence. There's someone that's listening because there's something inside people that want to hear dirt, that want to go low, that want to complain. It's just a part of the nature of man. And so whining and complaining never improves our situation. In fact, it makes it worse. And this spirit of pessimism, it's poison to your spirit. And I guarantee you, it not only poisons you, but it poisons others. How about this? The power of a positive attitude. The power of a positive attitude. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let's go up at once and occupy it, for we are able to overcome." Again, seems like it's easier to go negative and get attention than it is to go positive and get attention. I will tell you, not for this preacher. I love being around can-do people. Amen? I really think that we as Christ followers ought to be in the crowd of can do rather than this can't, we'll never be able to do this. We should go up and we'll take the land. They weren't hindered. These two guys were not intimidated. They were not hindered by a negative attitude. They faced the same situation that everybody else faced. They saw the giants. There were giants in the land, but they chose not to focus on the giants. They chose to focus on the grapes that were a size of a man. They chose to focus upon the pomegranates and all the incredible food that was, that the milk and honey flowing in this land. They chose to focus on the promise rather than the giants. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? We're talking about attitude this morning. I get that. Attitude and faith really go hand in hand. How do we develop this positive attitude, the power of a positive attitude? How many people are glad you came to church? Amen? Amen. All right, let's go. We got several things. We want to go quick here. Grab a hold of these. Here's what I would say. Number one, start speaking positive words. Now, I'm talking to people in this room that are Christ followers. You love Jesus. You recognize he died on the cross for your sins. You recognize the punishment, the pain. You recognize he took on himself all of our sin, and you have come to know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, surrendered your life to him. Do you know you have a choice? Are you gonna walk in faith or are you gonna walk by feeling? Are you gonna walk with him on the throne or are you gonna put yourself on the throne? And so when I'm talking about these things, I'm just talking about some feel good armchair psychology out here. I'm talking about people of God, love God, all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Here's some keys to having a positive attitude or living a life of faith, if you will. And it starts with learning to speak right. Learning. It is a process. We're learning step by step, day by day. For some people, it's like a new language because you've never spoken positive in your life. So this is like brand new, and it's like blah, blah, blah. I can't just do it. So you have to form these words that edify and speak blessing. Amen? Follow me here. Speaking positively. As much as 95% of the average conversation is negative. Some people can't wait for their mouth to open to expose another negative nugget of their life. Remember this, you create an atmosphere. The atmosphere that you live in the atmosphere that your words speak. We all know that God inhabits the praise of his people. That's why we praise him, because God lives and dwells. That's why we wanna have an atmosphere of praise in our home, an atmosphere of praise. Praise God, give thanks to the Lord continually. That's why when someone takes God's name in vain, there's something that kind of, it's like, that's not right. Why? It's not just, well, that's my Lord they're talking about. But when you damn God, you literally welcome the presence of evil. But when you praise God, you welcome his presence. And so we create an atmosphere around us. We create the atmosphere that we live in. When you speak negative, can't do, demeaning, you speak words of suspicion and mistrust, can't do anything right atmosphere. James wrote about this. He talked about the tongue in James chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5. He talked about how the tongue is a rudder. You got a big ship, but it's a rudder. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, right? The tongue, the power of our words. In James 3, verses 9 and 10, it says with it, talking about the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be. The task of the Christian life is to eliminate, to get a hold, to crucify the flesh, to tame the tongue, to learn to be a praiser. And not a cusser, not someone who's constantly putting down. People say, well, I just speak the truth. No, you have a bad attitude and you have a mean spirit about you. It's not trying to help a situation, you're trying to add fire to it. You're trying to get your point across. You're trying to prove that you are right. Cursing and a put down have no place in the vocabulary of a Christian. Amen? If that's what you have to do to communicate to your wife how angry you are, how much you got to get a point across, that's pathetic. That's not what a man of God does. It's not what a woman of God does. So we have to tame this thing. Let me say this, winners always have a positive attitude and losers always have a negative attitude. Winners always encourage their team, their teammates. Losers always accuse their team and their teammates. Winners are grateful and humble, but losers make excuses for what they do. So we want to learn a winning attitude. You know, an artist can go to the Grand Canyon and an artist can see the beauty and say, what a beautiful scene to paint. I read about an old crusty cowboy. His first trip to the Grand Canyon. The artist says, what a beautiful scene to paint. The old cowboy grumbled and said, what a terrible place to lose a cow. What is your attitude? What is your attitude towards your family, your wife, your husband, your job, your church, friends, other people? They say there's very little difference in people, but that little difference makes a big difference, and it has to do with attitude. We choose whether we're gonna have these positive, encouraging, we're gonna have thoughts, or whether we are going to act like a victim. See, really, it's out of the abundance of the heart. What's in your heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you see yourself as an overcomer, more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ? Or are you a little half ticked at God because things haven't worked out the way you thought they should or would, and you have a victim mentality? I read an article yesterday. It was a testimony of one of the Assembly of God missionaries that was given at the general council that's happening down in Orlando. And this single woman was on mission field. She was with a group of other missionaries that lived in that city. She had an apartment all of her own. And two masked men broke into her apartment with her there, blindfolded her, tied her up, and brutally abused her over the course of a long period of time. She heard them talking about, we've got to kill her. Whatever reason, they left the apartment. She was able to get loose. She made it to a couple of missionaries' home, and she knocked on the door. They took her in, began to minister to her, get her the medical help that she needed, got her on a flight back to the United States, surrounded her with godly counselors, godly people. She was in a place, she stayed there for some 8 months receiving counseling every day. And at this council, she stood before 10,000 plus people giving her testimony and was being commissioned to go back to the place. She said, I want to go back. I'm not a victim. I am not a victim. I'm a victor, and I'm going back to the place that God called me. Some of us in this room look for every excuse to bail. Church does something, we don't like something, we're gonna quit. It's amazing. It is amazing to me. We have the opportunity to choose and look for good. It's negative. Negative words are, they're words like destruction and poison. When you are negative, when you are negative in your speech to your wife, your children, in your workplace, about your church, in life, it is negative, it is destructive, it is poison. Listen to me closely. If you focus your thoughts on you, if you focus your thoughts on you and what you want and what you like, you're never gonna find it. You're never gonna be happy. Listen, no church, no wife, no husband, no boss will ever do enough to please you. Church is not about me and it's not about you. It's about him. What do we say? We bring our worship. We come in, bring our worship. We're worshiping him. We focus on him. We're looking to him. Church is about focusing on the Lord. Yeah, I'm receiving his God's word. Yeah, I'm being blessed, but I'm blessed to be a blessing. I take it in and I give it out. It's about serving and loving and giving. And when we make it about us, listen, we'll never be satisfied. The awesome, powerful message of Christianity is no matter what might be happening in your life, we can choose to have life and life more abundantly. We can go for God. A positive attitude doesn't just happen, but it is a passionate pursuit of good. It's a passionate pursuit of God. God, God, I want you, I want your heart. Jesus, I want you. Let this same mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hey, listen, he didn't go negative. He came to be a blessing. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom. Amen? Have you ever noticed this, how easy it is to make a negative remark? About another person or about your employer or employee, even in jesting, it never feels good when you undermine, when you down, when you come against something. It never feels good. In fact, it creates a stress within us. And my thoughts went to this. So many people are so stressed out. And maybe the reason they are so stressed is because they're always talking down. They're always gossiping. They're always undermining. They're always focusing on the weakness or the shortcomings of someone or something. Make a commitment. Make a commitment to be an encourager. Make it a commitment to be kind. It's the fruit of the Spirit. That little gal that waits on you, when those fries come and they're cold, don't rip her to shreds. There's a way to say, honey, hey, I ordered these fries. And could you just send them back and warm them up a little bit for me? There's a way to be kind and get your fries warm without making a rear end out of yourself. Somebody say amen. And still have a Christian testimony. Because you do that, you're not going to be able to turn around and be a witness. Make a decision. See, speak into their life. Speak into their life above a pathetic attitude. Speak into their life a God attitude. A God. The Bible says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Have you rejoiced? Did you rejoice when you got up this morning? No better way to start your day than to say, God, you're awesome. I love you. The optimist says, good morning, Lord. The pessimist says, good Lord, it's morning. I love you, Lord. Thank you for another day. Thank you for today. Lay your hand on your wife. Lord, thank you. I thank you for Liz. I thank you. You bless me with this woman. I bless her. Amen? Learn to bless. I bless my kids. They're not what I want them to be yet. They're a work in progress, but I bless them. I bless them. Lord, give me the keys to their heart. Start blessing your neighbors when you drive out of your neighborhood. There's a lot of neighbors in my neighborhood come to church. Man, I bless all my neighbors, but I bless those that come into the church. Lord, let good happen. Let them have a good day work. When I pull out of my neighborhood, the new schools across the street, I've started saying, God, bless Orange Beach High School. Bless the Makos. Bless Dr. McCoy. And bless all that administration and all those new coaches and all the kids that are going to go to that school. God, bless my mayor. Bless the mayor over this town. It's growing. Bless the police officers. Nobody looked forward to seeing the police. God, I pray good for them. Bless them. Bless the firemen. Everybody loves firemen, right? But bless those guys. I responded to a fire a week ago. There was a death in that fire. Responded with them. And then just before that, there was a death on a jet ski. And a week before that, there was a death down in the neighborhood that I responded to with the firemen. And before that, there was a drowning that took place of a child. Listen, they face things that maybe we face one time in our life or twice. Bless them. Pray good. When that siren goes off, be with whoever's in trouble right now. And God, be with those that are responding. Learn to bless. I bless my church. I pray good over my church. I pray good over the ministries of the church. I pray, God, you're going to use us to be a lighthouse on this island. Amen. Begin to focus on good. Begin to focus on good. Listen, let me say this quickly. To your husband and your wife, if you spend all your time focusing on what you don't like, focusing on the negative, focusing and griping and complaining, and you ride and ride and ride and ride and ride and ride that nerve, don't be surprised when one day he walks out or she walks out. Because you can't just ride, 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 ride. You're going to push them away. Start looking for some good. Start building on the positive. Do we have some things we got to work on? Sure, we all do. But accentuate, look for, encourage. Encourage your mate. You be the kind of mate you want your mate to be. Anytime you try to center on the problem, before you make the decision, you will not make the right decision. If you're just looking at problems, but you're not looking to the Lord, if you make your decisions based on the problem, you're not making the right decision. So look for the positive. Caleb Joshua saw the same thing. They chose to focus on good. They chose to focus on the word. They chose to focus on hope. They chose to focus on faith. Let me tell you this. Start thinking right. And I'm gonna close with this, and I only have a minute to go through this, but start thinking right. This is gonna come up rapid fire, but fix. How do you think right? For as a man thinketh, so is he. New King James, Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You've gotta fix your focus. You've gotta fix your thinking. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is good, pure, just, honest, if there be any virtue, if there be anything pure, whatever is lovely, commendable, if there's anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You gotta work on this. Our spirit is what's saved. But I'm gonna tell you, out of the abundance of the heart, what's in the heart. And so we're gonna have to work on getting this right and getting this lined up with that new creation that God's created in us. So we have to fix our thinking, which means we gotta take action. You can't just keep doing the same old thing and expecting different results. We call that insanity. You've gotta work. We gotta take command. Number two, you gotta focus. Focus. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do. He was laser focused. Part of our problem is we're into 21st century living. We're just so wide and so thin. But learning to focus, you better focus. I need to focus today upon my mind, my relationship, what I'm putting into my mind. The more you focus on the word, the more you focus on good, the more you focus on speaking right, the more you focus, the more it becomes a part of who you are. You've got to filter, filter. If you ate out of a garbage can and all you ate was maggots and poison and all kinds of disease producing germs, it'd be like committing suicide. You gotta filter out the garbage. We watch movies and we watch television in a relaxed state of mind rather than being alert. Wake up, wake up. You're the only one who can keep the garbage and the poison out of your life. And then don't be a dumping ground. When somebody else wants to put that garbage in there, say, I don't wanna hear this. Don't you be a dumping ground. And then of course, you've gotta feed your mind, feed it. I know this is old language, the old G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. And if you feed your mind a lot of negative, destructive, whether it's movie, TV, media, whatever it is, isn't it interesting? You watch it, those are the words you turn around and say. People say, well, it don't bother me. Watch yourself. Because you'll eventually start saying it. We need to focus on good. So how about instead of garbage in, garbage out, how about good in and good out? Oh, you didn't like that. Well, you'll like this one. How about this? There's no greater book in all the world than this book. How about God in and God out? Amen? How about putting God in so God comes out? And the last thing is this, it's start relying on the Holy Spirit. You can't do this, I can't do this, we can't do this on our own. I need the power of the Holy Spirit working in me, amen? Lord, I need you, thank you, you're awesome. Lord, I pray today would be an epiphany for some folks. A change in the attitude, the way they're approaching life, the way they're approaching their marriage, the way they're approaching work, the way they're approaching their church, that it's gonna be a change. That we become outward focused, focusing on others, being blessing. God, I pray, I pray, let this attitude or let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, humbled himself. God, let us walk in a way that we're following in your steps, in humility, in serving, in loving, in encouraging. Lord, I thank you that you don't hold our past over us. I thank you that you convict us, and I thank you that you forgive us, and I thank you, Lord, that you give us a future and a hope. And God, I pray today that you work in us. Make me more like you, Lord. I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Island Church Podcast. For more information, visit islandchurch.tv.